Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word, and I am joined by my very, very volcanic hot co-host, Mr. J.
Volcanic hot, okay. That's volcanic. A new one. All right. Yeah. I'll roll with that. What's up?
347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number, 347-826-7435. And as always, my volcanic hot co-host is pleading with you, deliberately and subliminally, to please send us your questions, comments, concerns, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com, or drop them in on the Facebook Smooth Drama Show page. He's looking for those pictures, ladies. Tell him how bad you look
for
the
pictures. That's right, ladies. If you want to participate, that's on you. But, you know, you already know how you can submit them. Don't play with me. Ain't going to be none of that. If you try to inbox them to me, I will put you on blast, and I will let everybody know who you are. So don't do it. Anyway, what's going on?
Yeah. For those dudes who want to be put on blast by Mr. J, I got something that might be good for you. There's a new craze that's sweeping the nation. But before I do that, I got to say also, tonight we're going to have a guest in the house, my main man, Brian Williams. In the house, the creator of the Harlem Shadow and Lucius Hammer, a little bit later on in the show. So be looking for that. We're going to be calling in.
Call Calvin, because I know he's looking forward to this.
Anyway. So once again, my man Brian.
Why are you hating on Calvin?
My man Brian Williams going to be in the house later. And we're going to get our comic book on, because y'all know how, if you don't know, I love my comic book talk. But we're going to go away from that here for a second, because right now there's a new thing that your main man Calvin might be interested in. It's called puppy play, and it's attracting a wide variety of people, mostly gay males with an interest in leather and having their stomach rubbed or their ears being tickled. So basically what these dudes do is they dress up like dogs and they sit around and they hang out with each other.
That sounds awfully like cosplay to me, but okay. And wait a minute. Just coming to my man Calvin's defense, why would you automatically assume that he's gay?
I didn't say he was gay, because
say he was into this? But anyway, okay, let's talk about the puppy play.
Most are gay males, but there are some heterosexual individuals who like to dress up as puppies and have their stomach
it's
tickled.
When researching for this, you know, for the show tonight, did you by chance try this out, you know, yourself or?
I don't need my belly rubbed. I'm good.
No, okay. I'm just. I understand if you did, I would understand it was just for, you know, the show, for the purpose of the show. Research, you know, for research.
Yeah, no,
were into that, you know.
I'm not.
We don't want to assume anything.
Care for dogs.
I'm
good.
Sorry?
I don't even care for dogs. Never had one.
Wow. That hurt my heart, but okay.
What?
Yes, I'm a dog lover, so, you know.
Okay. Well, hey, okay, I'm a cat guy. Here, kitty.
I can't understand. You know what? I'm going to leave that alone, because I can go somewhere else with that right now, but I'm going to leave that alone. If we're talking about the four-legged or the two-legged kind?
What?
Got kind of quiet over there, but okay.
It's not quiet. It's like kitties, like cats. I've had several cats. I've got three.
I'm sure you have. And like I said, are we talking two legs or four legs?
We're talking four legs, man.
Oh. I don't know nothing about those types.
I know. I don't hang out with dogs.
Yeah, well, that's okay. Call me what you want.
Hey, I'm not even what are you talking about you, man?
But anyway, let's go back more into this, you know, whole puppy play thing.
Yeah. Supposedly they just wear the gear. And it's about a group of guys who like dressing up like dogs. And they sit around, they converse with each other, they meet up and they spend special time with each other.
Okay, you know I wouldn't be me if I didn't throw this in.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, get ready, folks. You know.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, this doesn't sound like something the brothers would be doing. It sounds more like, you know, Toby and Tommy and Billy.
Well, what I found out, one of the guys whose name Tom, he ended a relationship with his woman named Rachel because she felt that his hobby dressing up as a puppy was a little different.
Duh. I mean, okay, I'm on Rachel's side with this one. Yeah, and, you know, I'm pretty certain there's people out there. Oh, you need to be more open-minded. You need, you know, don't be so judgmental. You know, there's just certain things that,
well,
you know, I understand.
Wait a minute, may not be my cup of tea, but come on now.
You're a grown man and you're dressing up as a dog. Okay.
Let me ask the question. I will ask this question of you. If there was a group of honeys who said they were looking for a guy like you to dress up and be, I guess, technically their bitch, would you do it?
No. Nope. Wouldn't do it.
Okay.
Real talk. No.
Real talk. Gotcha.
No, I wouldn't do it.
Mr. J has standards.
I mean, because that's like, so basically in order for me to be with you or for you to really have any interest in me, I'd have to compromise, you know, a certain part of me just to be around you. Nah. Because I know that in any given circumstance, that person or those persons wouldn't do the same for me. So, no, I wouldn't do that.
All right.
You know. Anything else going on out there in the world?
Oh, there's a new...
We should just call that segment Weird Shit That Weird People Do.
Well, that's my thing. I always like to talk about weird shit that people do.
Ooh, you're opening up yourself. You know I can go there, but I'm not because this show is only an hour long. So,
anyway, there's a new fitness program that's supposed to be designed to getting people fit by sexual simulation. It's called Bang Fit.
What?
It's called Bang Fit. And you get to exercise via simulated sex. So you download the app, you attach it to your smartphone, and then you start using your hips using the special Bang Fit belt or some other method of your choosing.
Can't you just watch a porno?
Yeah. Well, hey.
Or better yet, just can't, you know, can't you just go have sex?
Well, that was my word. Those are my thoughts.
Well, I'm just saying because, you know what, but I'll give credit to the person that thought of that app, and especially if he, let's say if he decided to charge for the app, you know, nothing outrageous, like 99 cent or something. I guarantee you, at the very minimum, he's going to make $1 million on it. I guarantee you. Because there are dudes, maybe even women out there, you know, that aren't going to fess up to anybody and admit that they downloaded the app, but there are people out there that will seriously try this out.
Well, I don't see it as an issue. I mean, it's nothing to be ashamed of. I mean,
no, it's not. But at the same time, where's the benefit? Because if you think about it, the same way you the same amount of time that it takes you to download the app, put the belt on, and do whatever you got to do, you could have went to your phone, went to Google, typed in whatever, and boom, you're watching it. Or you could put the phone down, go into the other room, wherever your girl or wherever your guy is, and get it in. Boom.
Yeah. Who says that? What if you're one of them people who are predisposed to not having human contact?
Don't know nothing about that. There's people out there like that.
Yeah. See, we ain't talking about us. You got to talk.
Oh, okay.
We talking about the other people. See, it's the difference. There are some people who they can be in a room full of people and be alone.
Sucks to be them, I guess. Yeah.
So you don't take your sensibilities off of it and say, okay, think of a scenario where somebody who they don't get a lot of human contact. So if they can do the bang fit, they're getting it in. They get to work out a little bit, and maybe they get a little confidence when they actually can get some or get a chance at getting some. They might have a little.
Okay, but I mean, because you bring up that point, if they're busy, I mean, if they're like really not sociable people and just really don't have that type of contact with people, even with this app, what would make them want to go out after downloading the app? And how would that build up your confidence? It's not teaching you how to be more sociable. All it's teaching you how to do is bang. And,
well,
you're not even banging. You're banging air.
Yo, okay, but see, you're looking at it wrong. See, because once again, you're looking at it from a confident heterosexual point of view.
Yes, thank you for pointing that out. Confident heterosexual. Thank you.
Right. So when you're talking about, there are some people who are not quite as confident as you, Mr. J.
I don't doubt it, but
yeah, there are
I'm just having a hard time trying to understand how this would build confidence.
I mean, I look at it like this. Like, I work out, I get my little jumps, or like during the breaks, I get my little boogie on, I do a little workout.
I do my break. TMI, because I know you're walking around right now, commando. So
the point
is.
What happens is you get a little testosterone, little blood flow going, and you feel good about yourself. You feel a little cocky, and they may go out and muster up the energy to say, hey, how you doing? Whereas before, if you're not working out, whatnot, you don't get that blood flowing, you may not have that confidence. That's all. Workout courage. That's what I call it.
I think between now, well, the end of this show and next week, you should download the app, try it out, and then give us a report on Tuesday.
But I already work out. And
doesn't
I
matter.
Mean,
no. We know that. We're just download the app and try it. Just to see what it what it feels like.
I would just do the actual act.
No. Download. Listen to what I'm saying. Download the app.
It's not going
to
do it.
For the next 4 days or so, 4 or 5 days, pretend that you're one of them.
Yeah, that I don't need to do that.
Why?
Because it's a waste of my time. I actually.
How's it a waste of your time?
I work out and I am comfortable talking to other human beings.
So you're saying that people that don't work out are not comfortable?
Yeah, I am.
Ooh, you just opened up a floodgate now. But anyway, let's move on to the next story.
Not really. That one.
So everybody, before we move on, every person that does not work out, that's capable of working out but doesn't, they don't have the same confidence level.
What I'm saying is, and I don't throw the blanket out there.
Clean it up, and get yourself out of it. Go ahead.
I have to clean it up. Look, there's confidence levels. People who work out feel good about themselves. They feel better about
it. I'm not doubting that, but you made it sound as if people who don't work out have no confidence.
Are you going to let me finish, or are you going to talk over?
Go ahead.
That's the point. The people who don't work out or work out as much, what do? They don't feel as confident as those who do. That's just a fact.
I disagree, but I don't want to, we'll spend too much time on this, but go ahead.
Yeah, you disagree. It's okay.
I'm just saying, you can't speak for everybody that doesn't work out. People that are terribly out of shape and got mad confidence. So
I didn't say nothing about out of shape. Some people, they don't necessarily, look, I got a cousin. He weighed 145 pounds. Dripping wet. He don't really work out. He does a lot of walking, whatnot. I mean, he's in good shape. It's just that's just what it is. Anyway, we're gonna go on break here, man, because that's all I got. Anyway, this is
347-826-7425.
Right. This is HISD paperback wrap.
Paper bag wrapped brown inside a crown, an 800 gold can old to English slur. Drunk stumble over curb, Alfie Wino, Thunderbird, Cat Lionel, Pop Spin Vinyl. Dirty, they call them dusty. Kids in the street, lips crusty. Ashy, shut the screen, damn your mom's mean. Pants cut to the knees, strings dangle, double dust, ropes tangle. That nigga cold at football, y'all. Ice cream truck call, buy me something, he's stingy. No change, ghetto sound bang. Hydrant flows, can't come in, quench thirst from water holes. Not yet hoes, innocent, feet show, how she fast as hell in them samples, crooked pro, no edge, lights on, in-house, fried chicken, seasoned salt rice, butter bread, man, that girl got a mayonnaise head, peanut butter bread, rocking them cats, what should I get, maybe a faded dress, or a black eye, false colors, doing the rock, the new addition in the verbs, new kids from the block, stole by shorty bean in them short-ass jeans, the biker short tight pants with the holes in the knees, and a thigh, suki braids, sweet pork on the side, cool cups, grab nuts, freestyle. Say hi, go speak, you a cheat. Man, I've seen you peek. This fight, street like skit and the gimpy. Quarter boy, jeans, old days, hand to the face. Paperback, school, lunches, man, I'm loving these days.
Docking cap, can of X with the 360 wave. Follow my ocean Pacific, I know the flow is specific. The tidal waves in the water world. Next up, the Astro girl.
Can I have
your phone number tight? Team hot summer, school sick, drop dead, like Fred. Savage through the years, I wonder with a pin in my ear, eye on the rear, at the right angle. Let me yes, yes, I can see that triangle from my side angle. The truth to truth, oops, I meant to tell you this. My mom about the cape for second period. The sound called the vapors. Now Ben's marked the spot where I first kissed. Tastes like peppermint in the middle of a pickle with a slight twist. Watch out of bling on my right wrist. It's in the left, give my man that. It's a paper bag.
Got that paper sack, aluminum chair wrap. At the lunch table, beatbox, you and your man rap. Get a job at the barbershop, you and your man rap. Razor blade, paper blade, I'm fresh as the ran rap. Rap that salami sandwich in the brown paper sack. Put the brown scuff marks my corduroy, they that. Look at the player in the last system in the back. Women loaded, sitting extra low with the three back. Bingo, bingo, that's my car, Rico. Without a nickel to my name, I'm a salty boy. Yep, my cool cup money, looking funny, kinda hungry, cause I'm working for the Popeye's biscuit with the honey. Love that chicken from Kentucky, finger licking them. Peppermint popping out of that pickle, she checking it to sweet. And the shower got the lips looking different. Paper bag wrap, tear it up, cause they dripping it.
Together you got smooth drummer, smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was HISD, the homie, paper bag rap. And I think we got my homie in the house, Brian Williams, creator of Harlem Shadow and Lucius Hammond. What's happening, man?
What's up, man? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I can hear you. What's going on? Okay, all right. How y'all doing?
We're good. What about you?
I was tripping off of the last conversation. I got in on the last part of that. That was a very interesting conversation.
You know?
Now, people being in shape and confidence level. Because I know
crazy people out of shape that got mad confidence, player. I mean,
thank you very much.
It boggles the mind sometimes, man. I thought dudes that weigh over 300 plus to be out there swagging like ain't nothing wrong.
Right. I didn't.
You know.
All I said was, and see, because they are an anomaly. For every notorious B.I.G., there
right.
is a notorious dude with his drawers around his ankle in his grandma's basement.
Yeah, you're right.
There's
you're
like
right.
14
it's,
of them cats.
There's all different types, but I happen to see so many. I see more overweight dudes with fine ladies than not. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes
right.
I'll be like, damn, how are you doing this? You know,
confidence.
You know, but yeah, exactly, exactly. You know, which is
yeah.
hey, which is all right. You know, more power
yeah,
to them. They need that. You know,
right. I
yeah,
mean,
it
takes all kinds. Everybody got their niche. So anyway, what's been
yeah.
going on with you, man? Let's talk about what you got happening.
Man, it's been crazy. I'm probably about to, if I don't get another book out here soon, I'm probably going to float into cult status here in a minute. But I don't know. I think I talked to you back in, what was that? Was it maybe 13, 2013?
Yeah, 3 years ago.
Yeah. Well, right after you and I connected online and did the little show, I got approached by some people that I had been involved with saying they wanted to do an animated series based on the Harlem Shadow.
Right.
And, you know, I had heard some, like, you know, I had been dealing with people here and there in Hollywood, and for Lucius Hammer, my other comic book, and the Harlem Shadow, and I had been kind of disappointed because you know how it is. You know how it is in the entertainment world. People be playing games, so... You know, when I first...
They can't control your project, and they don't want nothing to do with it.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So this dude that I had met at a convention, his name is David Uslan, had expressed a lot of interest in my project. David Uslan is the son of Michael Uslan, who was the producer of all the modern-day Batman movies. So I was kind of hyped. I was like, okay, this is from a family that has clout. The father and the son are interested. And David calls me one day and is like, hey man, are you sitting down? And actually, that day I had been suspended at work. First time ever in my grown adult life I had been suspended for something. At work, I wasn't having a good day. Let's put it like that.
Yeah.
And,
this picks you up.
Me. What do you say?
This picks you up, right?
Yeah. So he calls me and says, are you sitting down? And I was kind of short on patience that day. I was like, hey, man, listen, I ain't got time to play with you. What's the deal? What you talking about? And he said, hey, Russell Simmons is interested in the Harlem Shadow. And I was like, you talking about Russell Simmons? You talking about Def Jam? And he was like, yeah, man, he, you know, if we play our cards right, this could be a very, very good deal for you and I. So what I need you to do is get all your stuff together, package it up in an email, and get it to me and Def Jam, and we're going to start reviewing and taking meetings on this. So I was like, cool. So I got everything together, sent it off to him. This was maybe in May of 2013. By June, I had figured out that they wanted me to sign some stuff so that they could present this at, you know, the big San Diego Comic-Con. You know, the Comic-Con is this all world.
Brother, I'm a publisher. I know what you're talking about. I'm a Comic-Con.
Yeah. So you know what it is. So, but, you know, V. Williams wasn't born last night. I was like, hold up, wait a minute, what? Wait. You want me to sign something? You know, I ain't even had my attorney get in contact with you yet. Oh, that's all right. We got the best attorneys in the world. I was like, no, wait a minute now. I said, yo, my name's Brian Williams. I graduated from Boston College. You know, I know I'm selling cars right now, but I make a nice bit of money when I do that. And I'm not really that stupid. So I'm gonna back out of the whole signing thing.
So what were they trying to get you to sign?
Well, they wanted me to go ahead and say that it was all right for them to announce the project and what they were going to do at the San Diego Comic-Con. And they said, we'll sign all the other stuff later. I was like, nah, bruh, trick no good. Hold on. Let me contact my little dude I got out in Beverly Hills and, you know, he'll take a look at that for us, and then we can move forward. So I had an attorney that I was dealing with at the time, very, very, very well-known cat out in Beverly Hills, and he had helped me before with some other things, and I ran it past him. He was like, yeah, don't sign anything. I will draft up a proposal and hit them with it. And so I told them his name and that he would be contacting them, and there was like a hush of silence over the phone. They were like, oh, yeah, we know that dude.
Oh, damn it. Got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he plays hardball. He plays hardball. Okay. Well, we'll wait to see what he has to say.
Right. So, because basically you were expecting what we call a holding deal where they give you money for the rights to publish what you got and you get a nice percentage. I mean, but ultimately...
Right.
They were trying to punk you, have you sign, and they get everything, and you go the way of the broke guy.
Exactly. And you know, I was, the whole time I was praying it wasn't that, but I sensed that was happening. So I had my attorney check it out. He sent them a counter proposal. They agreed to it. And me and my collaborator, we signed everything, and we wound up appearing not in the actual physical copy of Entertainment Weekly, but we were on the digital.
You were online.
Yeah, we were online.
Okay.
So they announced the Harlem Shadow, new animated series by Russell Simmons on his All Deaf Digital YouTube channel.
Right.
It was supposed to start. They were supposed to start really getting at it, you know, in terms of filming and getting it together by June of 2014. Well, so many like stupid things happened. I mean, I interviewed with a lot of radio shows and a lot of different people were involved, and I think what it came down to. I don't know if you guys remember it too. At that time, Russell Simmons came under fire for some reckless shit he said about, or reckless comedy skit they had on about Harriet Tubman.
Yes, Harriet Tubman, Loving Slavery or something stupid. Like we talked about it on this show. I was like, hell no, that is the dumbest. Anyway.
Yeah, I think he had some like amateur comedians on there trying to be funny on a, you know, trying to do something, and he came under fire for it, and that kind of stopped the progress a little bit, and then people kept calling me saying, you know, some of the people from Def Jam and stuff were saying, yeah, Russell, he really doesn't, you know, he does it. Music is his thing. He really doesn't know too
music
much about
music and TV, but you know,
yeah.
I mean, well, you know, he had the deaf poet and the deaf comedy, but he knows nothing about.
Well,
yeah,
no,
he didn't really know too much about animation.
Right, he tried
to launch
his channel, but it was a bunch of disjointed ventures, like I said, the failed comedy, and also he had a few cartoons, which was stereotypically of. I have no nice words for it, so it was bullshit, and that's why that failed. I mean, unfortunately, as someone who's read The Harlem Shadow and Lucius Hammer, it's great stuff, and I would have been hyped to seen it animated. But
well, and you know, I have it. I've continued to work on it with some different people, but one of the highlights of the whole process was, you know, of course, they were going to make me and my artist, Christian Colbert, they were going to make us executive producers. And the way they were selling it to me, they were like, look, Brian, you yeah, you don't have a resume, man, but you're a pretty good writer, you know. You know, we want you to be involved. So we just want to go ahead and introduce you to a writer that we've selected specifically for the project. And it was I always mess his name up.
Don't worry about it. I mess up words all the time.
Kevin Grievous or Gravu. I talk to him all the time. It's crazy.
Kevin,
I don't know how to mention.
Oh, yeah, he's
Underworld. He wrote Underworld.
Right, you're right. He's the werewolf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, he sounds like a werewolf, too. If you ever get him on your show, he'll freak you out because his voice sounds unearthly.
He's got that.
You're talking about the big black guy, right?
Yeah, the big bald black dude.
Yeah, you know, he had something to do. He was a director on that series or producer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Well, he actually masterminded the entire story, but he didn't have a name at the time, so he had to let the one white cat that married the star of the Underworld, you know, the chick that was, you know, she's good looking with the leather caps.
Keira Knightley or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I forget the guy's name, but, you know, they had to give him the director chores because he had a name at the time. But Kevin actually wrote and created that entire franchise. But anyway, they paired me up with him. So I spent maybe 4 or 5 hours one night on the phone with him. And, I mean, it was an eye-opening experience, man. I mean, he's a good writer. I have respect for him. I consider him a peer. But we were talking, and I could already tell. I was like, yeah, this is going down a road that I really don't like, because he was saying stuff like, well, you know, I don't know if we're going to be able to keep the name Harlem Shadow. You might want to change it to the New York Night. And I was like, ooh. I was like, nah, bro, that sounds like a baseball team or something, man. I don't like that.
Harlem.
And then he goes, yeah, the New York Night. That's whack. That's just, I mean, I don't know what it is. Shakespeare had, he was on to something when he says, what's in a name? Because either you get it or you don't.
Or you don't.
You know. And
so ultimately, what happened? As far as, was it scrapped? You're not associated with them anymore?
No. The option that they took, that option ran out in June of 2014. So project reverted back to me completely, you know, and I've just been writing stories and getting ready for a relaunch of my company. I don't know if you remember, but my company used to be called Ravenhammer.
Right.
I'm getting ready to relaunch it as Soulhammer, because me and my boy Christian Colbert, the artist, you know, he went on his separate way, and I'm all going on mine, you know. So I'm going to continue the Harlem Shadow line with another artist. Remember the black and white artist named Rodolfo Buscaglia? He's from South America. Yeah, he's continuing on with the book. So we just felt like, hey, let's make a clean, you know, clean cut. You go your way, I go mine. Yeah, so.
Right.
Yeah,
that happens all the time. As somebody, I mean, you know, I have a comic book company, and so, you know, you work with different artists, inkers, colorists. I mean, it's a contract world. So, I mean, maybe exactly. Me and you have a conversation off air, and we can talk some shop a little bit.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
But
I just wanted to jump in right quick. For people that are obviously unfamiliar with your work, or, you know, just interested in, you know, not the known artists, but, you know, people such as yourself, you know, who are trying to do it in a different way, where can they find your work?
You can find my work in two main places. One, I've got a website, a really good-looking website that has a very low functionality. It's www.ravenhammercomics.com.
Repeat that again.
Okay.
And some people out there that are kind of slow.
www.ravenhammercomics.com.
Okay.
And I'm going to leave that website up for a while, even though come this August, I'm getting ready to relaunch the whole thing, new logos, it's changing the Soul Hammer. You know, it's going to be a big old grand production. It's going to be cool. And it's just going to be me and some of my most, my closest creative friends working on it. So, you know, it's like, it's going to be kind of, it's not even really going to be on that corporate tip. You know what I'm saying? That's what I tried to go to corporate tip last time, and that's just not me. It doesn't work for me. I got to do it as a.
I think they try to take your creativity. Like you said, dude wanted to change it from Harlem Shadow, which got you to run in the first place, to the New York Night. It's like, yeah, get that out of here.
Exactly.
So now, I know Harlem Shadow and Lucius Hammer. Do you plan on a second art for either one? Or are you going into animation? I mean, where are you going with your project?
That's a very good question. You know what? After the Russell Simmons thing, I considered myself blessed. I mean, you know what, man? That was a good experience. How many people wind up in Entertainment Weekly after two self-published issues of a book? You know what I'm saying? So it was an experience to get put out there like that. It was a confirmation that, hey, you're on to something. You got something hot here, you know. So I'm very thankful for it. But I thought to myself the whole time, I said, you know, this is a little bit premature. You don't even have an entire arc planned out except for this first five or six issues. So my whole plan is to go just be basic. Go back to the basics. Do what I do. Create comics. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to focus on the comics. I'll let everybody else worry about options and film and animation and stuff later. Because what I learned is I don't know about that. I don't know enough about that stuff yet. You know, even at my advanced age of 48, you know, I'm not fluent in that area yet. So I'm working with people, you know, who are boosting my knowledge on it. But I want to create the basis for what they use. Because one of the bad things in the conversation I was having with Kevin, he was trying to, well, let's give the Harlem Shadow an African mask. And that was an interesting conversation. I said, why would I give him an African mask? He said, well, you know, it seems pretty mysterious or cool. And I'm thinking to myself, man, you don't understand the gist of what I'm trying to do.
Did he even read the two comics before he approached?
He read them. But the thing is this, and I hope if he ever hears this broadcast, he doesn't think I'm disrespecting him, because I'm not. But I will tell you something. It's very difficult for cats to write a black comic book because there's so many emotions and feelings attached. There's so many agendas you want to get out you know, especially 5 or 6 years ago. Now, it's in fashion to write black comics. People still ain't doing it right, but it's in fashion now.
They say it's in fashion, but I mean, we're talking about black characters that resemble white characters. They're just black and holy.
Right.
So
I call them blackface characters.
Let me ask both of you a question, okay, because you touched on that.
Right.
Do you think with next year, 2017, with what's that, Panther, you know, the Black Panther coming out, you know, the Black Panther movie coming out, do you think, and I kind of think this way, with that movie coming out, I think that movie studios right now are probably trying to, you know, snatch up whatever they think the next greatest and latest, or, you know, whoever else is hot out there. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, every movie studio is going to have their quote unquote pseudo black comic, you know, comic book character.
Right.
I guess what I'm saying is, like, do you think that with this, with you know, they didn't do it when when Blade was out, but now they're going to do it with Panther. You know what I'm saying? Like, what do you think is going to be the next phase?
Here, I'm going to let you go first, bro. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be the case. I mean, the Panther is a unique case, and I still withhold judgment. I know everybody's on that bandwagon, but I withhold judgment until I see it and how they portray him and how they make Wakanda. Because I remember when Reginald Hudlin did it, and he's the one who had Wakanda conquered by Dr. Doom after Stan Lee, the white man, had Wakanda as unconquered. So, you know, we say black man doing it, black actors, oh, it's going to be really, really black or representative, but I will reserve judgment.
Let me dip into this real quick. I'm a huge Black Panther fan. I was pleased with what I saw in the movie. I like Chadwick Boseman. I was entertained on a very base popcorn level.
Right.
And I'm hopeful. But I've learned not to really, just because of the experience I just explained to you guys, I don't really think Hollywood, even I don't really don't think Marvel can nail the black experience. And I'm going to tell you this, that a lot of things people pass over when they talk about Black Panther is the fact that he's not even African American. He's African, which is a totally different experience from African American. So those are some of the key things that have to be looked. Like you just said, it will be an anomaly if it's good. I'm not necessarily – I like the fact that Ryan Coogler has been picked as the director just because they picked a brother. Now, whether he has the skill set to knock this out or not, I don't know. I mean, Creed was okay. I mean, everybody went nuts over it, but I didn't think it was – It wasn't high art by any means.
I mean, if I'm not mistaken, Creed was just Rocky with Michael Jordan playing it.
Yeah.
It's the exact same story. They changed nothing.
So, like I said,
I'm like you. I will reserve my judgment. And I was at the panel in San Diego when Joe Quesada said, it's inconceivable portraying Black Panther. It's just people won't buy it. I was there when he said that. So that will
reverberate throughout history that he said that. And the front runner for Marvel, Kevin Feige, agreed with it.
Right.
You know, for a time. So, you know, at the same time they were constructing Asgard for the Thor movie.
Right. That's what they were saying, that Asgard is believable, but Black Panther, they couldn't conceive of it as a concept. So Joe Quesada, for those of you who don't know, is the guy who's in charge at Marvel. He's the head of Marvel Studios. So the head of Marvel Studios thought Black Panther was inconceivable. He couldn't understand the concept. But imaginary place up in the heavens with gods, that is conceivable.
Yeah. That was more realistic.
Isn't that always the case?
And yes, yes it is. And see, that you just hit on is why I think, now see, I'm about to go to some more revolutionary thinking here. And I don't know why it won't happen, but, you know, I would like to see a Ryan Coogler or a Spike Lee or a Ava DuVernay or somebody like that do a very organic black picture on the indie tip, black superhero picture on the indie tip, because I just don't think it's gonna have it's gonna have the same resonance unless we build one from the ground up. Not saying that white people can't be involved. I mean, not saying that, but I mean something that you know is not going to be tainted by. Well, that wouldn't be realistic. We can't have that because that won't skew to these viewers or this demographic. Right. You know what I mean?
But that is the point. It goes back to what you're saying when you was talking to Kevin and how he wanted to skew it to a different name. And
yeah.
You talk about the Hollywood experience. Okay, you have Black Panther. I mean, Reginald Hudlin already tinkered with it and did a lot of stuff that Black Panther fans thought was horrific, like getting Wakanda conquered, destroying all vibranium. I mean, he did a lot of stuff they had to retcon out. And Reginald Hudlin, for you guys, is black man. And I had this argument. I had an hour-long argument with Ryan from worldofblackheroes.com where
he's on Reginald Hudlin's nuts.
Right. And we had an hour long argument on Skype behind that. And so he'll tell you, I'm like, you agree with anything Hudlin did. No, but nah, shut up.
Hey, and you know what? You just went up like several notches in my book. Because I didn't even have to hint at my disdain for Hudlin for you to say it. I mean, I collected the first six issues of that run and I was mortified. So
right.
I never read anything. I never the Doom War and all that. I never read any other of that other shit.
The first series ever. Let me. He hires Deadpool to fight against Dr. Doom. Now, I know some of the listeners may be out there like, what the hell are y'all talking about? But, you know, Deadpool, the comic book character that just made that movie that y'all thought was popular and just the most awesome of all awesome movies. Deadpool
played by the most awesome white guy of all white guys, Ryan Reynolds.
Right. But, why would you hire Deadpool to fight against Dr. Doom? It's retarded, but Hudlin did that.
Yeah.
So it's a Hollywood move because there was a push to make Deadpool popular and put him in every Marvel book imaginable.
Well, but it's also like it's Marvel thinks they're slick, but they're not. You know, they just recently got Ta-Nehisi Coates to write Black Panther.
And
it's the top-selling book. But I know you've read it. I've read it. I've spoken extensively about it on forums, threads, and Facebook and everywhere else. I am supremely bored and disappointed. And he's not a comic book writer.
Right.
You just did it to capitalize on his fame right now. And that's going to hurt the character because that book sucks right now.
Well,
you know?
It's the same thing they did with Blade. Blade did $100 million first two movies each time, and they came out and they got a writer who was not a comic book guy, and they got the worst artist that they could find and had him draw the book.
Yeah.
And it died on the vine. And with Black Panther, I remember they had Jerome Dickey writing when Black Panther and Storm were getting together. And it's like, yeah, this book sucks. Because it's superheroes, not Zane.
Yeah, right.
Sorry.
But you have these black fanboys out there that are like, they're like the, you know when the Walking Dead pile up on a human and just get to tearing out the entrails and eating the intestines? If you throw a bone out to black fanboys that are thirsty, they will scoop up any feces that you toss to them.
Well,
and I hate to say that because I've often been one of those fanboys.
No,
but,
hold on. We both have been, but we have to make a distinction because it's only if it's Marvel or DC that throws that bone out. As independents, we can throw out some beautiful shit, and they won't even touch you.
Nah, they'll walk right past you.
Right.
They will have a $250 Iron Man statue that they bought. and be like, oh, bruh, I like your book, man, but I don't have no money. Oh,
right.
Really?
Right.
You know. And, when I first got out there, I used to get mad, but now I'm just like, it's all right, bruh. It's okay. I'm doing what I want to do, you know.
Right.
I'm doing what I enjoy, you know. And the crowds will come if you put out a quality product sooner or later, you know.
Right.
I don't know if you've noticed, but all these so-called indie or these companies that are indie friendly, like Image and IDW, I don't really see no black product coming out of them either.
What we talk about, the greatest black product from Image was Spawn, and he didn't have a black face.
right. No. Only really hardcore comic book fans really even remember that Spawn is black,
right?
You know, and that's what I was trying to point out to Kevin when he was like, you know, let's give him an African mask. I'm like, bro, I want people to see his nose. I want people to see
right.
his lips. Yeah, I want
right.
him. I want it to be known this cat is black. You know,
right?
You know. And then we can work on a black superhero with covered features later, but the features are important. The other thing I wanted to drop to you real quick, I don't want to hoard your time, but I've got some other black writers that I've been following out there. Like I just mentioned, Ta-Nehisi Coates. I don't have nothing against him. I mean, but as a black writer who's trying to get into the same industry he's getting into, that he's already in, it's kind of bittersweet to watch him fumble on a great character that I love and know that he had no experience to get that job.
But when you say, I mean, like you said before, he's not a comic book writer. So basically it's that square peg in the round hole, like, yeah, we're going to put out this black comic with this black writer who doesn't write comics. They just write stories like, oh, it's going to translate. But if they can't write if they're not a fan of the character, don't have a passion for the character and know its back history and can embellish on that sort of like Christopher Priest did.
Yeah.
Then you get what we've seen the past three reboots of Black Panther. Man Without Fear in New York, which sucks. You're
crazy.
The king of an African nation, and your nation just went through a war, and you're in New York.
But yeah. You're in Hell's Kitchen. Yeah.
Right.
And I was equally, you're giving me goosebumps because I was equally resentful of that. Christopher Priest is the best that we've gotten, but you know, just to throw a bone out there, and I don't care if anybody hears this, but you know, I had an artist friend of mine that suggested to me one time, he was like, man, we should just go ahead and do a, you know, a Black Panther story. And, you know, he knew me pretty well. We had worked together on some other things. And I was like, bro, you know, I don't work on Marvel stuff for free. I don't write anybody else's characters for what? Like, why write fan fiction? I might have a couple of good ideas about something here or there, but I'll never sit down and dedicate time to writing it, you know,
no.
Because I'm glad you feel the same
waste
way.
Of your
like,
time,
yeah. And
you'll get put out the frame. But in the name of time, brother, we're running out. So before we get you to go, tell the people where they can find Lucius Hammer in the Harlem Shadow again.
You can find Lucius Hammer at www.ravenhammercomics.com. www.ravenhammercomics.com. That's one word. You can also buy the books, posters, and trading cards at www.comicfleamarket.com. www.comicfleamarket.com. That's Lucius Hammer, Harlem Shadow. Check them out on Facebook and Twitter. All this stuff that I'm spewing, you can catch it on Facebook and Twitter, too.
All right.
Well, you're part of the Smooth Drama Show on the Facebook side. If you can, before the night's out, could you, like, put some of that stuff up there, let the people,
certainly,
you know, see what, you know, we've been talking about?
Certainly, certainly. I'll throw some stuff up there as soon as I hang up here, and I'll stay in touch with you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Come back soon.
Thank
you for coming
back.
Ain't no problem. Stay up, man.
You too. Peace.
All right. Take care now.
All right. Yeah. See? So that was my main man, Brian Williams, creator, writer of Lucius Hammer and the Harlem Shadow. Characters with black features that you could actually see. Funny how that goes. No African mask covering it up. No demonic mask covering it up. Just black features. Not that that's not important, but it is important. All at the same time. I think it was funny that he wanted to point that out. I mean, because it's one of those things that doesn't get pointed out. Not drawing black characters in blackface. Like, yeah, they're black in face only, but their actions aren't representative of the community that they should be representing.
Well, I agree with you. I think that the sad part, which, I mean, we really didn't get into, even with, you know, the characters or the, the characters that he was talking about, in most of these situations, you ever notice how the black character, you really don't know what their history, what their past history was, what their storyline is? You really don't know. Unless you're a true fan and you followed all the way to the point from the comic book up until the movie. You know, like, what was it? The Captain America when, what's his character? Falcon. No, was it Falcon? Yeah, Falcon. When he came into the storyline. You know, they gave him, like, what, 5 minutes of storyline, and that's it, and, if, you know, and all of a sudden now he's fighting side by side. I digress, but my point is, you know, we've come so far, but in this genre, we still got a long way to go.
Okay. Here's my point. As a publisher, real quick, we put this stuff out there. We put out the stuff that the people say they're looking for, and if want to hear the there's stuff out there with these characters in them for you. We do it for you, but you have to support it. You can't complain that you don't see it when it's right there in your face. On that note, I want to thank my man Brian Williams for coming on the show. Of course,
I'll get him back on soon.
Mr. J, I am Mr. F the N Word. That was another Smooth Drama production, and we out. Peace.
Fair.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you guys.
Ooh, drama.